Worry tells you whether you're going to sleep tonight. Worry is concern on steroids.
And although worry can control you, Dr. Tony Evans says you have the final say over it.
If you want to get victory over worry, you must decide to rejoice in the Lord.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Even though we can't control the future or even see the future, well, that doesn't stop us from worrying about it. But that's a habit we can stop. And today, Dr. Evans will tell us how. Let's join him as he begins.
Many of us today have a mental monster crawling around in our heads. This mental monster is immobilizing us, strangling us, crippling us. And this mental monster's name is worry. There is so much today to worry about. We've got our personal issues to worry about, health issues to worry about, financial issues to worry about, family issues to worry about, social issues to worry about, career issues to worry about, terrorism to worry about, and it goes on and on, and it just keeps growing and growing. I want to tell you today, not only to be happy and don't worry, but I'm going to try to tell you how to be happy and not worry. Worry drains you. It incapacitates you. We got the pain of the past we worry about, the problems of the present, and the unexpected of the future. And it just keeps on coming. And now, with everybody being able to talk to everybody else all the time about everything, folk want to dump their worry on you. One man was so just overcome with all the stuff to worry about, he says, I will pay somebody $1,000 who will do my worrying for me. A man volunteered. He said, I'll take that $1,000 to do your worrying for you. He said, okay. The man said, okay, well, where's the $1,000? He said, that's the first thing you need to worry about. It drains our emotional tanks. And so I want to tell you today to be happy and don't worry. I know that's easier said than done. Now, let me clarify what I mean by worry, or its nickname, anxiety. Worry is when a person, place, thing, or an idea controls your life, your thinking, and your function. Worry is different than concern. There are a lot of expressions of concern in the Bible. Concern means that there is a person, place, thing, or idea that is negative in nature that needs to be addressed in some way, and you're trying to figure out how to address it. Worry is when there is a person, place, thing, or an idea that you are no longer dictating to, it is now dictating to you. Concern you control, worry controls you. Worry tells you whether you're gonna sleep tonight. Worry tells you whether you're gonna cry. Worry tells you whether you're gonna be depressed or discouraged. Worry tells you whether you need to pop some pills, because worry is the dictator. Worry is concern on steroids. Concern is legitimate. Paul was concerned for the churches. So if you're concerned about some things, but you are controlling the concern, you're telling it when to come or go. You're telling it, I can't deal with you now, I'll check in with you later. Okay, you're good. But if that thing that you call concern is owning you, that's worry, that's anxiety. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. And we all know that nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Whatever is worrying you, Paul says, is out of order. And he says, you are out of order for letting it happen. He says, be anxious for nothing, which means whatever is messing with you is not allowed to be made an exception by you. You cannot say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how bad this is. You don't know how deep it is. You don't know how long it's gone. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. It is not a request. It is a command. He says, it is unacceptable for you to be anxious about anything, which makes anxiousness and worry a sin. So when you or I allow something that concerns us to grow to become a worry for us, we have in actuality rebelled against God. Because we're told to worry about what? Nothing. So I don't care what your something is, whatever your something is that is causing you to worry, something is out of order. Because we're to worry for nothing. The book of Philippians is a book about joy. All through the book, keeps on bringing up this word, joy. He says in chapter 1, for example, verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. He says in chapter 1, verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. It says in chapter 2, verse 2, make my joy complete. Verse 29, receive him then in the Lord with all joy. So he's consumed with joy. But notice the context in which he is consumed with joy. That context is given to us in chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some are from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. So Paul is writing about joy from prison. He's in jail. In fact, Paul doesn't know if he's going to live or die, and yet he writes to the church at Philippi and to the church at Oak Cliff, keep your joy. Not only was he in prison on the inside, but he had folk working against him on the outside. Says, some are preaching Christ to increase my stress, to bring me more distress. So he's in a prison, locked up, can't get out. He's got folk outside working against him in the name of Christianity. He's not in a good situation. His circumstances are not in his favor, and yet he writes about joy. He says, be happy, don't worry. I want to walk you through now step by step, how to get over your worry. The first thing he says in verse 4 of chapter 4 is to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, in case you didn't hear me the first time, rejoice. There is worldly happiness and godly happiness. Godly happiness is called joy. The word joy in the Bible is a celebration term. Remember Cool and the Gang? Let's celebrate. When you see joy, it's like a wedding. It's festivity. It's celebration. Joy is a celebration word. So he's calling for celebration. But here is the difference between joy and secular happiness. Secular happiness depends on what happens. In other words, it's circumstantially driven. So if things are going up, I feel up and I'm happy. If things are going down, I feel down, so I'm sad, which keeps you on an emotional roller coaster. Because if I have a good day, I'm good. If I have a bad day, I'm bad. Because I am now being governed by the circumstances. And some I can predict, others I can't predict, but they influence me, they impact me, they affect my emotions as they would. But that is not the definition of biblical joy. Biblical joy has to do with celebration on the inside, regardless of circumstances on the outside. Joy, from God's point of view, is not tied to circumstances, which is why Paul, who's in a bad situation, he's in prison, has folk working against him outside of prison, can talk about his joy and can tell these folk to be joyful, because his definition of joy has nothing to do with what's happening around you.
Dr. Evans will have more on how he can beat worry when he returns in just a moment. Don't go away.
The thing about serving an infinite God is that no matter how much you know about him, there's always more to learn. So whether you're brand new to Scripture or an experienced ministry professional, there's something for you at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll find online courses covering core concepts of the faith. Working at your own pace and schedule, you'll dig deep into the historical context of the book, uncover the key teachings, and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Dr. Evans to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. The more you learn, the more you'll want to learn. Give it a try. The Tony Evans Training Center, a world of discovery, anytime, anywhere.
You can find out more about the Tony Evans Training Center when you visit our website at tonyevans.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out how you can receive a copy of Tony's current audio series, Living Above the Circumstances. This 2-volume, 15-message compilation includes a full-length copy of today's lesson and talks about how God cares for you and will meet your needs as you look to Him to overcome fear, apprehension, addictions, and even the seemingly endless day-to-day concerns that can weigh your life down. We want to help you experience what it's like to have deep, abiding peace no matter what's going on. So we're offering this entire collection on CD or downloadable MP3s with our thanks for your contribution to Tony's ministry. As a special bonus, we'll also include a copy of Let It Go, Dr. Evans' life-changing booklet filled with wisdom that can help you break the emotional chains of worry and anxiety. To get this special double offer, contact us today at tonyevans.org to make your contribution and your request. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you again after part 2 of today's lesson. Right now, here's Tony.
This church was even going through some difficult times. Because Paul tells them in chapter 1, verse 28, don't be alarmed by your opponents. They have folks working against the church. There was some disunity going on, and There was some opposition to the church going on. And in midst of challenges, he says, keep your joy. So whatever this thing is, joy, is not tied to circumstances. I remember one day I took one of my kids to the doctor when they were children, and I took them to the doctor because they were sick. They were sick, they weren't feeling well, but this particular doctor at this particular office had a playground, toys in the playroom. Well, we went to the doctor because they were sick. But in the middle of a sick environment, there was a playground. And I remember the kids playing with the playground while sick. In other words, on the inside of the location of the sickness was a playground. Joy is having a playground on the inside, regardless of the things sickening you in your experience. Can anybody use a playground here today? Well, let me tell you how to build a playground in your situation, even while you have to deal with your sniffles of your circumstances. The way to get joy, even if things are not joyful right now, is in the Word. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Okay, let me reread it in a way it's not reading. It doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances always. And again, I say, rejoice. Because if you're rejoicing in your circumstances, it depends on how those circumstances are. He says, don't rejoice in your circumstances, rejoice in a person. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Well, notice the word joy is in the word rejoice. So the way, watch this, you get joy is by rejoicing. If you're not rejoicing, then don't expect to have joy, because joy is in the rejoicing. You see, a lot of people want joy who refuse to rejoice. But you must rejoice to have the joy that's in the word rejoicing, and you must do it more than once. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoicing is celebrating God. You must, watch this, if you want a playground in your heart, regardless of the sickness in your life, then you must, in the midst of your circumstances, become a rejoicer. Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight, and midnight is a dark time. They're in jail and it's dark. And it says, Paul and Silas at midnight got their praise on. They celebrated God at midnight. They praised God in the midst of their problem. This is why there is so much in the Bible about not grumbling and complaining, because what grumbling and complaining does is it reinforces your focus on the problem. Your problem doesn't need more help. Okay? It's already a problem. But we actually help the problem out by focusing on the problem through complaining and grumbling about the problem. Now, you can't ignore the problem. It's a problem. But what he says you must do is you must decide to rejoice or celebrate God no matter what the circumstance is. You engage God, you don't ignore the problem. He says, I'm in prison, that's a reality. Habakkuk spends 2.5 chapters talking about how bad things are. It's only 3 chapters in the book of Habakkuk. He spends 2.5 of the chapters talking about how bad things are. He comes to the end and says, but I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. In other words, he doesn't ignore the fact he's got all of this dilemma that he doesn't understand. He doesn't know why this is going on, why God is letting it going on, why God is letting it going on, let it going on this long. He said, I don't understand this, but I'm making a decision to get my praise on in the middle of what I don't understand. What the enemy wants you to do is so focus on how bad it was, how bad it is, and how bad it could be that it gets your full attention and you never get around to building a playground in your soul, a place of celebration, because you want joy while refusing to rejoice. You get joy by rejoicing in the Lord, that is, in who God is, in what God has done in other scenarios, you are rejoicing in the Lord. A woman in labor has a dual challenge, a conflict, because one, she's in pain. She's hurting because of the labor, so she's hurting. She's crying out. She feels the pain. So that's a negative. But the negative is counterbalanced by the life. In other words, she's getting ready to give birth to life. So it's like a bittersweet thing. She crying. Unless she got a good epidural, she crying. Tears are flowing down her face. But she's also celebrating inside, knowing that she's giving birth to life. It's a bittersweet experience. Life will make you cry. Situations that you've caused or others have caused you will bring tears to your eyes. But God says, in the middle of your pain and imprisonment, in the middle of your discomfort, I want you to make a big celebration about me. And that's something you must choose to do. It will not happen out of nowhere. You've got to decide. He's not talking about when you're in church, because he's talking about when I'm in prison. I'm going to rejoice in who he is in spite of where I am. So, number one, if you want to get victory over worry, because you've been commanded to worry about absolutely nothing, you must decide to rejoice in the Lord. Okay? You must decide that. It will not just happen. Verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Don't take out your misery on other folk. Okay? Gentleness has to do with you're not using your ministry to be vindictive or horrible or hateful. Why? Why not? Why? Because I'm going bad. You know, things that are going well. Because he says the Lord is near. He's closer than you think. The Lord is near. He's closer than you think. You may think he's a long way away. He's closer than you think. But you actually, by refusing to rejoice and continuing to complain, can keep the near God far. It means you don't acknowledge it, concern. It means you don't let it on you.
Dr. Tony Evans, sharing important insights on keeping reasonable concerns from growing into overpowering anxiety, part of his 2-volume audio compilation, Living Above the Circumstances. As I mentioned earlier, we're bundling all 15 messages in this powerful series, along with his popular booklet, Let It Go. We're making both of these resources available as our thank you gift in return for your donation to the Ministry of the Alternative. Just visit TonyEvans.org today to get all the details. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. You know, there's never a shortage of things to be anxious about. Even in good times, we can find ourselves worrying that our situation will be turning bad soon. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will continue his look at the plan God has for us when anxiety seems to take hold of our thoughts. I hope you'll be back for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.